Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the baseball season. Lucas is monitoring all things NFL draft as well as the Justin Tucker sweepstakes. We have hockey playoffs, all sorts of things going on, including democracy itself, which I'm trying to keep an eye on as well. But baseball has me distracted right now. We're going to be at Costas on Friday, distracted by the Maryland Lottery and the Magic 8-Balls. We're also going to get those Back to the Future scratch-offs and the Monopoly scratch-offs out as well. We will be at Beaumont next Wednesday. We will be at Cooper's North on the 23rd, and we will be at Coco's Pub in Lauraville on the 30th. Lots of great guests, lots of cool stuff going on, but nothing as good as this guy. I did think of Barry Bloom when I was in Toronto opening day weekend. So I went to the opening day game on Thursday. I got a big blister on my ankle in Toronto. I didn't feel like walking in 35 degree cold. So I sat in my hotel room and I got takeout food in Toronto while Luke used his press credential at SkyDome. And I put the television on, and as it always is in Toronto, the hockey game's on. So the hockey game is on, and I look up, and the Florida Panthers are playing some blue circle puck that says Utah on it. And I looked at it. I'm like, is this some sort of like minor league, major league wrestling? But what is this, Utah? I swear to you, Barry, it was March, whatever, 27th, before I realized that you don't have a hockey team anymore in Arizona. And I know you were like a Yotes guy. It has passed me by, this whole Utah era of nameless hockey.
Yeah, talk about you. I mean, the Utah Hockey Club is dead to me. I haven't watched 1 minute of it. I don't follow them. I don't care. Even the NHL, I've watched sparingly this year. It's I watched some of those all national games between Canada and the U.S. And I flicked on the TV yesterday to see Ovechkin break Gretzky's record, but that's been pretty much it. It's like, yeah, the Utah Hockey Club, I don't see how they make ends meet any better in Salt Lake City than they did in Phoenix, but that's not my problem anymore.
Well, we got baseball in Phoenix, which is why I'm reaching to you and the Diamondbacks. But I mean, you were a guy in on the Coyote. Like, it failing there is kind of crazy, and how it works in places like Tampa and fails in other places. I'm befuddled by it. I'm befuddled by sports. I'm befuddled by the NIL, just sort of the new ownership here. I know you and I have talked about them healing wounds and all of that. Right now, on the field for the baseball team here in Baltimore, high expectations off the 3-digit wins 2 years ago and new ownership. It's been a little bit of a stumble out of the gate here so far, Barry.
Well, getting back to finishing up on the Coyotes. I mean, what basically you have 5,000 or 6,000 really hardcore hockey fans here, and you've never had good ownership. You've never had a good arena in a proximate area where they could play. The last guys who owned the team, Morella, was a complete crook, so it was bound to fail here. And then the Diamondbacks right now are in the middle of trying to get the state legislature to approve a capturing of the sales tax so they can rebuild Chase Field. So I mean, you have a basically ethos where really people in the populace don't want to spend public money to help owners build facilities.
Well, we had
And
no
so
problem doing that here. Billion to 600
yeah.
million to Bisciotti, 600 million now to Rubinstein. I mean, Rubinstein's one of the reasons that was made the deal so attractive for him. Billion eight and 600 million gets rebated in stadium renovations that he can pass on to the customers. That's the business of baseball, especially now that the RSN model's fallen apart.
Well, what that in and in most places, especially out west, it just doesn't happen anymore. You don't get that kind of money. I mean, the A's got $400 million from Nevada to pay for that part of the stadium infrastructure, but they've got to come up with $1.5 million themselves. So it's a completely different, ethos out here. And and as far as the Orioles go, I mean, they're spending money this year. I mean, I was just looking at the list. I mean, they're 15th in baseball at $180 million right now. So it's not like they're not trying to plug holes and build a deeper team, but you're just competing in, a division with the Yankees and Red Sox, where, those are really the only two teams in baseball in the American League anymore that spend that kind of money. So I've been gobsmacked by the fact that the American League stopped spending money. Houston stopped spending money. Texas is okay. The Angels do what the Angels do, and they don't really spend money wisely. But I mean, really, it's this winter, only the Yankees and Boston signing Bregman spent any money. So it kind of cements that they're going to win either the division, or they're going to win they're going to win a wild card. And I was on the field at Steinbrenner Field talking to one of the Tampa Bay co-owners, Brian Hault, and he made the statement that he thinks nobody in the American League is going to win more than 90 games, and that Tampa Bay is going to win their division with 88 wins. And I told him, "You're absolutely crazy. I mean, the Yankees won 98 games last year, and they didn't have Cole for a good part of the season. They had a lot of injuries in their starting rotation. The Yankees are going to win between 90 and 100 games, and they're probably going to win the division, and they're probably going to walk into the World Series again, because you have a whole division in the American League in the Central that doesn't spend any money. They're all under 100 million, I think, the last I looked." So I mean, you can't have that kind of imbalance. If you look at the National League, eight or nine teams are really spending money, and National League West spent almost, over $1 billion, including the Dodgers, and the rest of the teams just trying to keep up with the Dodgers. I mean, you have four teams that are trying to keep up with the Dodgers. So I mean, and you look at the standings right now, and the Giants have had a fantastic spring training. Very rarely do you have a great spring training and then open the season 8-1, which they have. But the Giants are a much better team with a good pitching staff and a settled front office now, without Farhan there, replaced by Posey and all the guys he brought in. It's like being the old Giants again. So that is going to be a super competitive division, all season. And so will the AL East, although I just don't see, Tampa, with the type of offense it has, being able to compete with the rest of the bigger bopper teams in the American League.
Barry Bloom is here. He's been my friend for a long time. I've been a reader of his most of my life with the Associated Press, covering the Yankees, and a real baseball historian. Now working at Sportico. You can find all of his work out online. He sends it over to me. It's a lot of baseball stuff, but sports, and the respect I have, and one of the reasons I love having you on, is because of your knowledge of the business of baseball, because it's always been my feeling on the radio 35 years now here in Baltimore. You could not discuss baseball without understanding money, where the money's coming from, the revenue streams, going back to the strike in 90, 94, going back to the strike in 81 when I was a kid. And in the modern parlance of all of this, the stadium revenue, the club seat revenue, the ticket revenue, local sales, sponsorships, but the YES Network, NESN, what the Dodgers have in regard to the Giant part of their brand, what the Braves had for a minute with Turner, and what the Cubs tried to do with the Superstation and being corporately owned. I don't know where Rubenstein fits in this, whether he's the rich uncle and, the do-gooder in this, who's going to spend money over top of what they're making based on the fact that he's 74. He wants to win. It's fun for him. He's got his own bobblehead next week already, Barry. So no ego involved here at all with the ownership here, but they're trying to not be Angelos. I don't know what they can do for pitching when they're buying 41-year-old pitchers, 35-year-old Japanese pitchers. They went and bought Kyle Gibson a couple of weeks ago, and they still don't have enough pitching. And the notion that they can compete, be in this thing, maybe make a trade because they have some depth in their organization, and they have money, and they have, major league players that they could deal from as well if they needed more pitching. But the one thing the Orioles have not done investing in is drafting pitchers, developing pitchers. They haven't. And right now it's kind of coming back to haunt them because it gets real pricey when you go buying it on the open market.
Well, I think that's something that they're going to have to do with, recent ownership here. That's something you build in your baseball operations on the long term. And they've got good baseball operations. So, I'm sure they're eyeing it and trying to figure it out. I mean, there are some teams that go out and buy pitching and they build through the organization. They do one or the other. There are other teams like the Dodgers that do both. So, I mean,
This feels very philosophical if you look at their draft since Elias and Maidel have been here, that they invest in position players because they don't blow their arms out, allegedly. They actually get to the field as opposed to half these pitchers getting Tommy John.
and it's something to be said about that, because look at the injury. The Dodgers just spent what $180 million on Snell, and he's out with inflammation in his shoulder already,
No,
and he's
everybody
had
wanted Gerrit Cole till he can't pitch, right?
right. So Gerrit Cole's another one who just went under the knife and had Tommy John surgery. I mean, they keep popping up all the time. I mean, the fact is that. Corbin Burns, who went from the Orioles and signed as a free agent with the Diamondbacks, excuse me, he hasn't had an arm injury, but that's now. I mean, eventually pitchers are just going to have him.
Well, the Orioles would have Bradish, they would have Wells, they would have Means, and they would have Rodriguez. I mean, that to me on paper with the way those guys pitch, that looks like something that feels like 100 wins with this team. What they have right now, I mean, I'll give you Eflin. The rest of this is just a bunch of number four, number five starters, and I wonder if that's going to be good enough and whether they're going to hit the ball and score 6 or 8 runs every night.
Well, it's the same thing with Tampa Bay too, losing their top starter before the season started, and their rotation is a bunch of number twos, threes, and fours also. It's pretty good, but they don't have the offense to offset it. So I mean, it's a yeah, the pitching thing is a huge problem. You can't avoid the injuries with the amount of torque that guys put on their arms, the amount of use they have as young pitchers coming up through the system, going through all the camps and things that they do. It's just like Japan, where high school kids are pitching, throwing 200 pitches a game, and the coaches at that level don't care. And then by the time they get to the major leagues, either in Japan or over here, they're just candidates for their arms to wear out. And basically, the arms are dispensable, and you just have to keep cycling people through until you get a couple that stay healthy for a while.
Barry Bloom is here. We're talking some baseball. The Orioles are out in Arizona. He now resides out in the Valley of the Sun. On the Diamondbacks and on West Coast baseball in general, just based on your accent, everybody knows you're an East Coaster, but the LA San Diego thing and the money being spent there, the fact that the Oakland A's couldn't make it and ever and have just hit the exit button and they're going to play in Sacramento, and the amount of money in the desert in Arizona where you're trying to compete with the Dodgers. What is that franchise at this point, the Arizona Diamondbacks? I've never seen it as anything really vibrant. Maybe it's playing inside of the big bubble there. And I've been to games through generations over the last 20, 25 years out there, World Series games out there a bunch of years ago with Gonzalez and Randy Johnson and those guys. What is the state of that franchise? Is it a strong franchise as it would have wanted, Buck would have wanted it to be 30 years ago?
I think it is now. I mean, I think that they've just made a decision that they're going for it, because they've signed, they've gone out and signed big money players. I mean, look at Corbin. Scott Boras came to Ken Kendrick and said, I've got a pitcher here who lives here, who wants to play for the Diamondbacks. What can we do to make that happen? And they were not in the market for that kind of money to spend on a pitcher. And they were able to work out with some deferred money and a walk away after 2 years that, they could afford to like allocate $200 million for a guy like him and then put him somewhere in the rotation, which is already pretty good. I mean, they've got as deep a rotation as the Dodgers do for that kind of franchise with in this market, that's pretty incredible. So, and Ken Kendrick, the owner, has always said, hey, if we make money, we're always going to put that money back into the franchise. We're not going to make it, we're not going to keep any of that money. So evidently now, with coming off the World Series 2 years ago, they had the highest growth in attendance in Major League Baseball last year. Their season ticket base is really good. Even though they lost their television contract, they've made up all but 30% of it through their MLB TV deal. And so, they've extended out a lot of their young players. They just extended out Marte again. They had originally, extended Corbin Carroll. They've just decided to go for it and compete. And God bless them, because you don't know how it's going to work out with injuries. Right now they're a 500 team, but it's early. And you have the other three, Padres, Dodgers, and Giants, that they have to compete with all year.
Well, if the Orioles were the rocket ship that they were 2 years ago and just get to a World Series and fall flat or whatever, and the Orioles haven't won postseason games in these years where they have been a regular season rocket ship. And then Rutschman fell apart last year. The pitching fell apart last year. They didn't hit the ball in October last year. And then the new ownership settles in and spends all of this money on remnant one-year pitching, but they don't have any money on the books next year. And they have this flood of Hall of Fame potential players, maybe the likes of what we haven't seen in a decade, maybe with the Cubs back when they were on the front end of Rizzo and those guys there. And Henderson, Holiday, Westberg, Hauser now hurt with the thumb injury, but even Mayo and Basayo at the AAA level saying they're top 20 prospects in the game. They figure to field some level of an all-star team here not before too long, and a lot of these guys not even arbitration eligible for a few years.
Yeah, well, they've got $40 million committed already for next year, and that's near the bottom of the league. So they've got a lot of places where they can, there's room to move. And it really, a lot of this is going to depend on, where MLB is going with its labor contract, where MLB is going with the revenue sharing on regional sports networks, and how they can convince the big market teams that you mentioned earlier, Yankees, Red Sox, Giants, Dodgers, that basically it's essential for them to share their own, regional television money off their networks with the rest of the major leagues for the survival of the major leagues.
You better
So,
bring Pete Rozelle and Art Modell back to negotiate that, like the merger.
yeah, well, they should have done that in 1960, and they wouldn't have had that problem. So, they didn't have that kind of foresight in Major League Baseball. I mean,
Well, Barry, you've been covering this 50 years. It's never even been even on the table or close or even talked about. Not when the Orioles were paupers in the 70s or the rich guys in the 90s when Angelos took over, or then the self-inflicted poor guys that they've become now with the Washington team being here, that all along it always would have been a great idea to have a floor and a ceiling, or what the NHL went to war over and the NBA went to war over, which is if we have a cap, the players will all make more money and the teams will all do better. And baseball, really, every time we talk about it's the original sin, really, for baseball.
well, I'm getting back to, first of all, the Orioles had their best era in their history before free agency. It was the 60s and early 70s where they were really, great at it and assembling teams.
Well, they were the first ones to get picked apart in the mid-70s when it happened, right?
Everything was under their control,
I had Doug DeCinces on 2 weeks ago talking about it.
Right. So, but the fact is that if you looked at the market, television markets back in the 60s, when some owners didn't even want to broadcast their TV games locally because they thought it would kill their gates. If Major League Baseball had said at the time, we'll give you $2 million and we'll take over your market, I think most of the teams in baseball before expansion, you get to say 1960, 61, and then basically you buy all the markets. They wouldn't have had this trouble. It would have been what Pete Rozelle did with the NFL before the merger, before anything. He said, "Let us take care of this, and we'll take care of your market." And that was the key thing they ever did. All the rest of it is dressing on what happened with the NFL. So you're basically, that's where baseball started. And then the absolute proclivity by the owners in the Marvin Miller era, when basically they hired him to basically put some strength into the baseball union, that proclivity of trying to maintain the reserve clause, regardless of anything, that killed them.
Well, I go back to Curt Flood and Andy Messersmith and all of that, but then we take it to where we are right now, which is we've got a new owner here. He has professed his wealth and want to win and desire to win and how much is enough. And every time I get Luke on the show, we're spending his money, right? We need more relief pitching. We need to spend more money, invest more money. It really can be a bottomless pit if Mr. Rubenstein so chooses for it to be, maybe the way Seidler did in San Diego, or the way the Tigers really were run with the Little Caesars empire for a long, long time, to just say it is a civic trust. It's not like a normal business. But if the Orioles are trying to run this nut on nut, I really do wonder where the money's coming from, Barry, because it's not going to come from big business here. It's not coming from big money ticket holders and leather seats behind home plate the way it is in Toronto, where I saw it last week, or New York, where there's a lot of money. And then the whole notion of this, the future of streaming rights revenue, and what an Oriole fan's investment is going to be to have the games on their screen and or Apple TV on Friday nights, and all the breakups of all of this. Everybody I talk to who's smart about baseball doesn't believe that they really know what they're doing. And I think that that's probably to some degree why people don't want to spend a whole lot of money, guys new to it like Rubenstein, because I don't think they look at 29, 30, 31 5 years from now and know that there's revenue there. I mean, the ESPN breakup happened, that if they have to go out and sell this door to door and only get baseball fans to fund it the way hockey had, inevitably hockey had to go sing for its supper, and in places like Phoenix it didn't work. I worry about baseball in smaller places, and I not just the ability to compete, but I've seen how crazy college sports has gotten and how quickly it's all happened. And I worry for whatever's going to happen with this Tampa Bay franchise and the vagabond A's that are moving around, because at some point they need to find money and a fan base in order to survive. And they've been looking for that in Tampa for 30 years, man.
Well, they are the revenue recipients, revenue sharing with kings of revenue sharing, and they, the Rays have lived on that for years. So have the A's. The A's are just starting to spend some of it for the first time. So, there's a lot of money in the game, and I'm convinced that there's not an owner in the game that doesn't have the money, either through their own resources or their revenue, to be able to build a good team. It's just what they choose to do and what they don't choose to do. And their argument has always been, hey, go to the union and get the union to help us out. So we're going to try and, we're going to jam a salary cap down your throat again, just like we've tried for 50 years. Instead of coming up with an idea of saying, look, we want a salary cap and a floor. This is what we're going to give you for it. This is how, to your point, it's going to benefit you, all your people in your union, who are all going to make money off of this. Rather than, excuse me, just try to storm or strong.
Barry Bloom is here. He is with Sportico. You can follow his workout covering Major League Baseball as well as the business of sports. Nobody is more astute and has been covering it longer. And through all of the wars of Bowie Kuhn and Marvin Miller and reserve clauses and things just roll off of his tongue. The one thing I would say for the future and for things like Masson and the money that it ward off for the Angelos family that it's now sort of a dried up well, especially cable revenue. And I mean, the Orioles, one of three teams that don't have, it's streaming and market. It's messy. Do you have the confidence that Rob Manfred knows what he's doing in regard to this? That they even know what they want their outcome to be in baseball?
I'm in the frame of mind now that, I mean, Manfred's going to be around for only 3 more years. He's got the one more collective bargaining that, basically they're going to try and get through without doing too much more damage. And then my hope is that Major League Baseball goes out and gets a CEO, entertainment, business guy who's going to take over, somebody who can react and interact regularly with the media, with the other owners, and be able to move the sport forward. I just don't think that, I have a lot of respect for Rob, and I've known him and I've worked with him for 20 years, but I just don't think at this point, I think the group of labor lawyers that they have who are in control of the commissioner's office, I don't think you're going to move much further along the way with those guys anymore. And so basically it's just, let's see what Rob can do on an interim basis here, but I don't think anything's going to really change until you get a new commissioner in.
There's been a level of arrogance here that I'm writing about this week where this young lady from Seattle has come over to run the team. There are a whole lot of former Angelos people still very much buried within the framework of the warehouse. They're trying to talk about change and shift. They're getting all this money. They've moved the left field wall out. They've moved it back in. They fixed the sound a little bit in the stadium, amongst other things. They've obviously spent a lot more money on baseball players, at least in the near short term, with the pitching and the players they have. But the thing that it lacks for me, being a sophisticated guy who's done this on the radio for 35 years and done nothing but talk to people like you about it, is I'm looking for the overall strategy top down for baseball, for the Orioles, for Rubenstein, for this organization to give some semblance of a public strategy and to gain some level of consumer confidence other than I love Boog's barbecue. I've been an Oriole fan forever. I'm with you. When I can't get the games on my phone, when the MLB TV goes down on opening day, they don't have enough gerbils or hamsters in the machine to make it run. This Friday night disgrace. Barry, I'm in Toronto 2 weeks ago, opening day weekend. And Luke went to the game, and I didn't go to the game that night. They were giving away some jerseys to kids, or Bichette jersey, or whatever. And I thought like I could stay in my room and watch the game. The reason I saw Utah playing hockey was because the Blue Jays and Orioles weren't on TV. They weren't on in any bar in Toronto. They weren't on in any bar in Baltimore because they were on Apple TV. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world can they even look in the mirror and say they're trying to grow the sport when I'm in a cosmopolitan city and it's game two and people have no access to the game unless they want to like sign up for some new mafia to be involved in it? And I just think that's not a 56-year-old squawky guy talking to a guy who might be 57 or 58 who's squawky. That's talking to 23-year-olds who are just saying, I'll watch the hockey game. I'll watch the basketball game. I'll go without. I'll do what me and my wife just do when they put the Peacocks on the NFL. We just don't watch it. And I love sports, but I don't know what they're doing or how they're managing it. And for me to sell it on a day-by-day basis and talk to very astute people like yourself, and none of us really can even parrot what the strategy might even be because I don't. And the more fellas like you I talk to, yeah, we're going to stream something and people will pay for it and there'll be money. I don't know where all that's coming from because I don't know who these people are. Because every time they offer me something new to pay and buy, I get real skeptical about giving them my credit card. I think a lot of other people do too.
I think there's just a lot of variable ways of viewing sports these days. And, the ultra cacas like us are basically having to adjust to it. And I mean, I think it's kind of crazy that you decided to stay in your hotel room and not go to a game when you could have gone to the game, even if you had to buy a ticket.
I
I
had a
mean, you
blister on my heel. I bought a ticket the first day.
well, okay.
I mean, I walked around the SkyDome long enough to get a blister on my
So
heel.
you've got an Apple TV game on a Friday night.
Yeah, and
But
I wasn't doing that. I ain't paying them their $5.99 or whatever, giving them my credit card.
that's baked into the whole, repertoire of the television contract through the whole season. You have TV. Some days you have like Fox. Some days you have TBS.
Well, it's just baked into me watching less baseball. You know what I mean? Like the other night, the Orioles had the Red
You're not
Sox in
going to
town.
spend, and you're not going to spend, like $100 a year to watch it on MLB TV either.
Well, in market, you wouldn't get it. So, I let me just say this. The other night, and the Orioles have been, Katie Griggs has been on all of their properties talking about their Birdland value menu, $5 beers, $3 this, $5 that, and all that. And then I went, and there's nobody at the games, right? I mean, everybody was there opening day. I paid $50 to walk around on opening day. I paid to get in. Then on Wednesday, and they played a Thursday afternoon game here. There's nobody there, and the Red Sox are in town. There's not even Red Sox fans there. And I went to go online to buy a ticket. Tickets were like $32 to get in. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I mean, the $5 beers are nice and all, but if you don't get my 30 for the cover charge to get in, I mean, they really are in whatever. They're going to get you one way or another, or you're just going to walk away. And I'm getting old enough now that, like, I just wasn't going to pay to do it 2 days in a row when I did it on Monday. I gave Major League Baseball money in Canada on Thursday, and I gave Major League Baseball money at Camden Yards on Monday, but I'm not doing it every day, and I'm not putting more quarters in the machine like I'm at the down on the block in the wrong side of town to watch the games on Friday night. I got to put more quarters in to get the Friday night game. It's I
Well,
just I don't understand philosophically how that's going to be palatable.
that's how you generate the revenue to put the players on the field.
I hear it. It's not going to be $5 beers buying Gunnar Henderson.
Right. So, and that duplicate the Baltimore experience by most of the lower level teams around baseball. But I can tell you, if the Diamondbacks can do it, if the Diamondbacks can offer, a pass for the season for $45 or whatever they do, and you can sit anywhere in a ballpark that seats 48,000 people on most nights, then other teams have to come up with creative ideas of how to do it too. So look, I got to go because I've
Oh,
got.
I love you. I appreciate you. He's in the desert. Diamondbacks. Go see Barry Bloom out at Sportico and follow all the things he's doing. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.